Can you imagine what heaven's going to look like in all its beauty and glory and splendor? There are trees there. There are flowers there. All that beauty is there. How many of us, that's going to be awesome. The ultimate is to see Jesus and the Father face to face. In Matthew chapter 1, verse 22, now all this was done that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, behold, a virgin shall be with child, shall bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Emmanuel, which is being interpreted God with us. Now, when it comes to the Lord, everything that he has said will come to pass. There's one thing you can bank on. If God spoke it, it's going to happen. I said, if God spoke it, it's going to happen. To me, the only reason he hasn't already returned is the mercy that's upon us. That I got in the kingdom just in time. You got in the kingdom just in time. Can we say amen? That's, he's worked in our hearts. And how much more mercy is out there? We need to start believing more. Our faith needs to be released more for people to come in the kingdom. Somebody has prayed for us. We need to pray for others. And anytime you really pray for somebody, you're actually being unselfish. That is one of the most unselfish acts we can do, is pray for somebody else. Encourage somebody else. Witness to somebody. Say amen. Notice that it's God with us. And when I look at that statement, oh, I love it that the Lord is with me. He says, I'll never leave you or forsake you. Now, we know that when we're in sin, we cloud that area. Say amen. How many ever lived for the Lord and all of a sudden you sinned? You didn't set out to, but all of a sudden it's there. How many ever lived for the Lord and spoke something you shouldn't? Thought something you shouldn't? Am I the only one in here? Amen. I mean, as we still have flesh along. But one thing I do know is that we're not what we used to be. But we haven't arrived yet either. The paint may be still wet, but thank God I'm changing. The restoration process is in order. And if you continue in that, the Lord will make great things of your life. And one day, you will like how you look. You'll be likened unto Christ. Amen? You're not going to get to heaven and go, oh, bummer. You're going to be awesome. How many of us, that's going to be neat? No decay, no diseases, no crutches, no wheelchairs. Amen? All of us having perfect vision, perfect hearing. Oh, come on. Can you imagine if you could remove all the stain of sin out of your body and life, what it would be like? It'd be like it was when Adam and Eve walked before they sinned. You know, God is so smart that he even has a fruit that you could eat it and you could live forever. Isn't that so cool? What on earth was in that fruit that came from the tree of life? Say amen. The tree of life was so powerful that they had to be banished from the garden in Genesis. Otherwise, they would eat while in sin and live forever in it. That's why an angel was placed there with a flaming sword, said, you'll never eat here again. Say amen. How many knows God has a whole lot more, and he knows our makeup better than we do? I said, God knows our makeup better than we do. I wish I would have saved this documentary. I watched it on insects one time, and they showed an insect that had this, it actually glowed in its back, that they figured it out that that insect has the same power as a nuclear reactor in a bug. And they mass produce themselves. If God can do that, how many of us, God can do more than we can with fossil fuels? How many of us, the Lord is the Lord? It's going to be great just to sit down and talk to him. Amen? Notice it's God with us. Tonight, if you're taking notes, I have six things in this area. Number one, God with us. It's a reality in the Old Testament. Adam and Eve walk with God. That's cool. I mean, it was that Noah, he says, I'll establish my covenant with you, Genesis 9:9. He walked with God. Abraham, in Genesis 17:7, says this, I'll establish my covenant with you and with your seed. Moses says this in Exodus 3:12, I'll be with you, I'll be your God. In the Old Testament, he established, I am with you. What I appreciate these guys is that they walked with the Lord too. Everybody in Scripture walked by faith. Everyone did. Sometimes the manifestations were different, but they all had to believe. If you look at Abraham's account, when he left his own countrymen, his own people, he went to a place that yet he was led by the Spirit to be a people that wasn't a people yet. And now he's 99, Sarah is 90, and he doesn't have a lineage yet. And God says, from your seed, all the nations will be blessed. How many think that's a step of faith? And also a trying of your faith. But he says, you're going to be the one counted in righteousness because you trust. When I look at each one of these men and women, you're going to find out they were just like us. They still had to dress. They still had to do things. They still had to deal with their fears, their strengths, their weaknesses. That's what's neat about heaven, is that through all the generations, they're going to be people. Say amen. When you meet Adam and Eve, they're going to be real people. Number two, God with us. It's a reality in prophecy. In Isaiah 7, verse 14, therefore the Lord shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son. You shall call his name Emmanuel. In Luke 1, 28, the angel came to her and says, Mary, hail, highly favored, the Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women. When I look at this scripture, it was prophesied Jesus would come forth. He's just not going to be a normal man. He's going to be God with us. He's going to be the Savior of the world. No one can save but God. Amen. Amen. That same power is still today. The enemy tries to attack it on every level. But prophecy is true. You can bank on it. You can count on it. Now, sometimes people try to go ahead of Scripture or add to it. The Lord never said, pick a day where I'm going to come. He never said that. He never said, put a year on it either. He says, in the day and hour you don't think, I'm going to come. For some places it's going to be morning, some will be noon, some will be evening. But I'm going to come. Come on. How many of the Lord's faithful to his word? How many of every God gave you a prophetic word said this was going to come to pass and it happened? Some of you heard a word years ago that hasn't been fulfilled yet, but you know it's the Lord. Hold on to that word. God will perform it. There are sometimes God will do something in just a moment. Sometimes it takes a lot to line things up, and all of a sudden, wham, amen? And sometimes we want God to go from A to B to Z. Sometimes he'll go to A to Z and skip all the other steps. Oh, never put him in a box either. Never guess like, well, he'll save this one, and he won't save this one. He may save them all. Say amen. I mean, he's the Lord. And when I look today, intercession needs to come back to the house of God. We need to pray like never before. And we need to have a desire to pray. Sometimes it's good to talk about it. Yeah, we should do that. Yeah, I want to participate in that. That needs to be practiced already. Prayer meetings that are corporate need to start off private and then brought into corporate. Because we're already doing that. Now we're just doing it together. Number three, God with us. It's a reality at Jesus' birth. Look back at Matthew 1:22. Now these things were done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken. Behold, a virgin shall conceive. You shall bring forth a son and call his name Emmanuel. That reality is there. It's like God with us. He will be among us. The Father gave Jesus a body like we have. That's why Mary was just a vessel. He needed a body. He became the sacrifice. Now, Mary was an awesome lady to be chosen. There's no doubt about it. What a responsibility that must have been. Amen? The ridicule that came with that. The unbelievable, really, the hatred from others. The out of custom in lineage. You name it. It was all there. But she said, be it unto me, the servant of the Lord. Say amen? When I often looked about the virgin birth, here, I'll make it real simple. How many are saved in this room? The same thing that happened to Mary happens to us when we get the Holy Spirit in there. The Spirit comes in and makes it alive. That's what overshadowed Mary, that she agreed with the word. When the angel gave it, she said, yes, boom, it happened. She became impregnated with the word of God. How many understand the truth there? It wasn't an act like we have today. It was that spoken word. She agreed with it. Boom, it happened. She was just the vessel to get that body of Jesus here. Is this good this evening? But it's the reality of Jesus. When I asked Jesus to come into my life, he came in, made my spirit alive. That's so cool. I mean, that still happens to people. We also need to pray this. Many times we get so conditioned in what God's doing. Listen, pray for people to get touched. I really do this. Lord, as the message is going on, Lord, save them now. Amen. I'm looking for the day where people just can't wait for the altar call. And they don't even know what an altar call is. I'm ready to get my life right. I've been in services where I've had somebody stand up and say, Pastor, I've sinned and I want to get my life right. Can we do that right now? Yeah. There isn't one person in the service would go, no, got to wait till the end. How many knows it doesn't matter? Listen, we need to pray for that area, that God just brings them in and arrests them. Listen, what happened to you needs to happen to other people. Number four, God with us. It's a reality of Jesus' life, death, and resurrection. When Jesus paid that price in John 1:14, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, we beheld his glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. The Word took on flesh, just like we have. When Jesus was on the cross, the nails would be just like if we got the nails. He wasn't oblivious of pain. He bled when he was cut. He bled when he was whipped. And he was marred more than any person. Can you imagine the sins of the whole world was placed upon him? Do you think of the torture that would be, even the mental torture that would be, that he resisted sin on the blood, his capillaries burst, yet he took all that upon him. If you know something about Christ, when you're tempted, he's able to deliver you because he's carried all of it. He knows about every fear. He knows about every frustration. He knows about every anguish. He became sin who knew no sin, that we might become the righteousness of God in Christ. Notice it's in Christ, not in us, in Christ. There's no human effort that you could ever do to perfect yourself good enough for the glory of God. That's why we humble ourselves, say, Lord, I need you. Forgive me. I get his righteousness. Say amen. And how about this? There was a time where the Father had to turn from his Son. When sin was placed upon him, that was a loving act because otherwise Jesus would have been consumed by the holiness of God. So the Father had to turn as he became that sin offering, that slaughtered lamb. But notice that the relationship was quickly restored. The ultimate pain, listen, is absence or separation from God. Can you imagine when an individual, when he says, depart from me, I never knew you. And that word now works against you forever. How many of us, that's a scary fact. When he doesn't want to speak that. To me, the white throne judgment is going to be the saddest day ever in God's life. But he has to come to pass. It has to be fulfilled. He never wants to say, depart from me. He wants to say, well done, good and faithful. Enter into the joys of your Lord. But we know sin has to be paid. And if you reject the only salvation, you become the Savior yourself. You'll bear your own sins. And you can't save anything. But can you imagine the absence of the presence of God? In the midst of Jesus' pain, he cried out, Father, why have you forsaken me? There was such a deep groaning there that hurt so bad. But he felt the separation so we wouldn't have to. Thank God for that. I never want to feel the separation from God. It's God with us. His birth, his life, his death, and his resurrection shows that he is God. That's good preaching. I mean, is that I want to hear, well done, enter in. We put so much stake in now, in the temporal nows. Now, I know we have to exist here. I know we have to occupy while we're here. But you know what? I can't wait to be in heaven. Not that I have a death wish right now, but I know to be absent from this body, I'm there cool. Yes. That's our real home. This is just a temporary. We're just ambassadors here. We're, in fact, we're just strangers and pilgrims. That's our best thing. No matter how comfortable you think you're going to get, it's never going to be satisfying. It's never complete in that. And when are you the most satisfied anyways? Isn't it when we're with Him? When you're loving on your God? Everything else seems to be fleeting or changes in a moment. And then sometimes you like it, but then you don't care for it anymore. Say amen. Come on, how many kids have really wanted something? They played with it an hour, then it's just left alone. Now, we used to do this when we had little, we had nieces and nephews. We used to buy the loudest toys possible. And we would give those away, and we used to chuckle that, wait till they take that home. Gongs and clanks. And I remember one time my brother, his kids were little, and my dad and I, we were just laughing. We had this game where it had like a bell and a drum, and it was so loud. And I remember going, hey, have fun with this one at your home. He looked at me and says, thanks, man. But the truth is that most of the time, the fun, it dissipates. And the lasting goes away. But man, he who loves the Lord, it's an everlasting thing. For all of us, in 1 Peter 2:21, we need to follow this example of Christ. If God's with us, listen, it says this, you've been called because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example on how we should follow in his steps. Lord, let me follow your ways. I don't like to suffer, but you know what? If you cease from sin, there's some dying involved. Oh, nobody knows what I'm talking about. How many knows that there's sometimes it's no to me and yes to him? And how you knew you changed is you're going from glory to glory. People who don't resist sin, you need to meet the Savior. Amen. In Romans chapter 5, verse 8, if you take notes, but God commended his love towards us. And while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Oh, I love that. We didn't deserve it, but he did it. His grace was there for me. Amen. And now I get to know him. And there's no limit on how much I can grow. There's no limit on how much I can love. There's no limit on how much joy I can have. The Bible says in the fruits of the Spirit, there is no limit. There's no cap on that. You can be as loving, you can be as kind as you want to be in Christ Jesus. How many want to be like Christ? I mean, he exudes that. When you meet him face to face, you're going to see love personified. It's just going to ooze all over you. Joy all over you. It's such an overwhelming presence. We shared this morning from Matthew chapter 9 about how Jesus went around healing good, doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil. Every disease and every sickness. I want to see that in service. I need you faithful folks to begin to release your faith for more miracles to be done. Amen. Can I get an amen from somebody? Amen. Have that area that you're speaking that in there. I really want a church where there's not one sick among us. Well, that's impossible, Pastor. Well, I want to see the impossible become possible. Amen. You got a sickness or a disease, boom, it drops off. I don't know who prayed for me, just God touched me. How many of us, it's overwhelming, amen? Like, just like popcorn. Here it is. Boom, that happened. Boom, that happened. Boom, that happened. Amen? Amen. Have you ever seen? Remember the old pans? How many remember like when it used to come in a pan and it had aluminum foil on it? Yes, and it used to rise. Anybody know what? Okay, well, you're good. You all know. As a kid, I used to see that thing and all of a sudden, like, nothing's happening, nothing's happening, nothing. Then all of a sudden, when it starts, it goes off. True? Now, one time, I put a slit in the top. It took a little longer to warm up, but when it started to pop, I'm here to tell you, it started to shoot out the... As a kid, I thought it was so cool. Then my mom yelled at me. She's coming off in German at me. In 1 Corinthians 15, it says this, "For I was delivered unto you first of all, and also received how that," I love this, "that Christ died for us according to the Scripture. He was buried and rose again the third day according to the scriptures. Everything Jesus did was according to the scriptures. You could have an account of it. If you spent any time in the Old Testament, you could have seen. That's why Jesus was so upset at the Pharisees and the Sadducees. He says, you ought to be knowing this stuff. You're teachers, yet you're blind. You're blind leading the blind. Had you been looking for me, for the scripture tests of me. Do you know you could have, if you followed scripture the way it should have, you could have found out where he has been born, how he was going to be born, what life he was going to live, how he was going to die, and how he was going to get resurrected. You could have had an eyewitness account of all that. But it's amazing how sin can blind us. And I'm always blown away that you could die right next to Jesus physically and still not accept him as Savior. You could see him bleeding right next to you and still reject it. Hey, you saved others, save us. Come on. Only one turn at the cross. Aren't you glad the one says, be merciful unto me when you enter your kingdom? And even Jesus, I love this. Paralyzed, hanging there, having all his faculties beaten out, and he can still speak a word into somebody's eternity. Today you're going to be with me in paradise. Isn't that so cool that he could just take that and speak that? You need God speaking over you. You need to take the word of God and say, this is God's word. It's speaking to me and it's speaking over me. And now I'm going to speak it out. The enemy has made it so like common today, so callous today, so vanilla as it were, that there's no power in it. We just don't speak it like a storybook. It's our rule. It's our life. We command it. We speak that with authority. When Jesus preached, the Bible says, no man spoke like this. For he speaks with authority that even the demons follow. Now, here's another big truth. The Pharisees and the Sadducees never doubted Jesus could heal. They just didn't want him to do it on the Sabbath. It's amazing how many Christians don't even believe Jesus can do that. Here's another true fact. Before the disciples were born again, they had power to cast out devils, heal the sick, and preach the gospel. Jesus said, go do that. How much more now when he gave us the New Testament and the new command, go into all the world. I'll give you this power. We need to get back to those basics and say, I have this. It's not what I don't have. How much do you already have? Exercise that. We don't need another new version. We don't need another. We just need to exercise what we already got. Amen? When Jesus said, I'm with you to the end of the age, that's a good thing. I look forward to seeing my Savior face to face, in whom I've served by faith. Won't that be cool? And maybe one day you'll walk up to me and you'll be right next to Jesus. Won't that? Oh, cool. That's so cool. No one's going to be jealous in heaven. If Jesus is walking over here, here's what I know about it. Here's what I've experienced this firsthand. Here's what Jesus does many times, is that he'll acknowledge you and still deal with his situation. You're never left out in the kingdom. But nobody's going to go, I wish he'd spend time with me. He just goes over the big shots' houses. He doesn't come over my house. That will be not in you because that's flesh. All that'll be rooted out. He will have time for you like he does everyone else. Amen? Oh, that's good stuff. And if he's over somebody's home, you're not going to go, I wish he'd do that for me. He never does that for me. Those days are over. I'll be with you even unto the end. And he wanted it so bad, he's going to take all the clocks and move them away. I have a forever to be with you. That means there's a forever time with him. How many knows you're going to get plenty alone time, plenty one-on-one time, and plenty time to be with everybody else? Yeah. Isn't that going to be so awesome? And I can cover ourselves up to the thousand-year millennial reign. But after the thousand-year millennial reign in Scripture, it doesn't give much on what we're doing, but it just says we're going to serve him. So whatever serving him is, there's something going to be going on. But one thing I do know is we're just not going to sit around and do nothing forever. We're going to serve the Lord. Isn't that cool? Well, a day's like a thousand years and a thousand years like a day. Everybody in heaven right now is blinked and the next generation has came. Blinked and another thousand years has came and blinked and another thousand years came. And nobody's going, wow, it's been so long since we've been here. It's just like a moment. Are you with me? That's why when somebody passes on, it seems like you'll be right behind them and he could be many years here. But it'll be just like, boom, oh, you're here too, boom, oh, you're here too. It's just like that. And for the Lord, there's a steady stream. Now, we know there's a steady stream leading into hell too. The Bible says many go thereat. Many drop in that area. But all the heaven rejoices. In John chapter 12, verse 35, it says this, and Jesus said unto them, little while I'm with you. I'm the light with you. Walk while you have the light, lest darkness overcomes you. Those who walk in darkness don't know him or serve him. But you have me, and I'm the light of the world. Walk in that light. Our only hope is Jesus Christ. It's God with us. The church should be so shining, so bright today in a dark and perverse world. Amen? We need to pray, Lord, draw them in by your Holy Spirit. If we're not interceding for them, are we just hoping? Are we just wishing? No, pray for them. We got to come against strongholds. The enemy has fortified his position today. In this country, we've allowed so many other things to creep in that now darkness is prevailing in many regards. But we cannot even look at that. The Holy Spirit is so much greater. Just the church needs to get organized in what the kingdom's about and advance accordingly. Start standing for what we believe. Because when I got saved, people used to pray. Say amen. You sought the Lord. You got your miracle. You believed him. He touched. Number five, if God with us, it's a reality in the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the greatest teacher ever in our lives. In John 14, verse 16 and 17, I'll pray the Father and he'll give you another comforter that he may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive. Neither does it see him, nor does it know him. But you shall know him. He'll dwell in you and shall be with you. The Holy Spirit is foreign to somebody who isn't saved. They can't know him and they can't see him. That's why sometimes the church is fighting an area that's a spiritual dimension. And we're hoping that the world gets it. They're not going to get it until their eyes are opened up. Lord, save them. How many of us, when the Lord saved you, a whole world opened up? One of the first things is like, Lord, thank you that I didn't die before I knew you. Hell took on a whole new meaning once you got saved. Like, you're glad you didn't go there. But he'll be with you. I love that. He says, I'll pray the Father. He'll send you another comforter. He'll abide with you and shall be in you. I love it that the Holy Spirit just doesn't come upon me like he did in the Old Testament. He now dwells inside of me. Jesus allowed us now to be born again. That seed can be within us. That spirit can be within us. That is powerful. If you're filled with the Holy Spirit, pray in that prayer language. There's power in that. It unlocks mysteries. It helps you even in your physical body. It's like spiritually lifting weights. You can tell the difference if you spend that time. If you haven't prayed in the Spirit yet, there are many people here. I'll pray with you. God's given you the Holy Spirit. Now you want that power of the Holy Spirit to speak. And I've learned this. There are sometimes I'll run out of words in my natural English language, but I can pray in the Holy Spirit and it can extend that. And it also can make that English language better, more full, more strong. Is this good? I know you know about the Holy Spirit, but we need to exercise it. If you're a Spirit-filled Christian, pray in the Holy Ghost. Don't be ashamed of that. It's a gift of God. Amen? I want people saved, filled with the Spirit, healed, delivered, and going on to God in one shot. Boom. The whole package, boom, comes down. I want the whole package to come down. Come on. We can make some noise tonight. I want the whole package to come down. Feeling kind of sassy tonight. Amen. Amen. Which leads me to number 6. God with us. It's a reality in heaven. In Revelation 21, verse 3, it says, I heard a great voice from heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them. They shall be my people, and I myself shall be their God. I love that. God will come down and dwell with us. And there's an eternal factor there. But you know what? He's going to be our God. That reality is heaven. It's just not going to stop. And I want you to know that the throne is huge. It's huge. From every aspect of heaven, you can see the throne. It's the center focal point of all of heaven is the throne of God. And so many people surround that area. Now I'm going to give you a glimpse on the other side. When people get there, when they arrive in heaven, God takes them from that arena. But many are infant stage in Christianity, infant stage in the anointing, and infant stage on how they can handle that presence. The angelic host will help that area and strengthen as you go, because God wants everyone at the throne. But people are known as they're known. How much can you handle in the presence of the Almighty? Oh, I'm speaking from the other side. I know this as reality. We have to grow in grace. You have to learn to handle the anointing and grow in that arena. Because there is so much more. Can you imagine standing in the fullness of his presence? Even angels shudder in that arena. That's how powerful he is. He is unbelievable power. When you see him, there's thunders, there's lightning. It's like, man, it's unbelievable. There's so much love. There's so much power. It's indescribable how vast it is, how much it permeates all of heaven. That all of heaven, it shows there's no comparison between Satan and Jesus. There's no comparison between God the Father and anything earthly. He can destroy with the brightness of his coming. That's why we have to mature in the faith. Say amen. We need to enter those things. That's a serious business. And all of flesh is consumed there. It's a consuming fire. Everything that's fleshly will be burned out of your life. I don't want some secular song throughout eternity in my brain as I'm looking at Jesus. Now, I'm not saying that every piece of music is evil, because that's foolish. But I want things that are pure and holy. Now, let me just make it real clear and just straight up. Everybody smile at me so you love me. If this is going to remain, doesn't Scripture say not one word will fail? This is eternal. If you reduced your whole life down of everything you've learned, how much of this is left in here? I want you to put more of this in here. Because when it's tried against fire, this will last. But hay, wood, and stubble will be gone. And since all that flesh will be consumed, lust, envy, pride, all that works of the flesh will be consumed in his fire, in his presence. Only the things of the Spirit will be alive at that moment. I have a message, you'll be known as you're known. The guy on the cross, when that thief went there, he went in an infant stage of being born again. He says, today you'll be with me in paradise. He had no opportunity for character change. Just the word of God spoken into him brought him there. If you have an opportunity to grow, that means your character can become more like Christ while you're here. That matters. It matters on the other side. If this is in us, no matter what you face, that consuming fire, this will not be burned away. That character of Christ will be tried but not burned away. All the dross will be gone. Does that make sense? That's a consuming fire. If Christians get a hold of that, they'll put a whole lot more of this in here and here. They'll allow the word of God to change them because hay, wood, and stubble will be gone. And some people who are banking on rewards and did it for their own personal glory, they will suffer loss. Yet they themselves will be saved because of the word. I'll speak it as a truth. I know some pastors who've done things for self-glory and received self-glory from people. The Bible says you have your reward. You know, truthfully, here's what the church is supposed to do at that moment.
Good job.
That's all you get. And some grandmother that's been seeking the Lord in private will be rewarded more openly. For he who does that in secret will be rewarded openly. How many want to put more of this in here? Listen, if you come on a Wednesday night, you are doing something eternal for your own spirit that you will never, ever, ever regret. If you could back up time, you'd be like, I'd do that more. That's why it's so important. Now, I want to encourage you to have more time in that word. My wife and I have a thing that we do is that since your phone, I'm here to voice change. How many heard a voice change? I'm finally going through puberty. Finally, after all these years. Man, it's awesome. I'm happy for that. Amen. Pastor Mark, I'm finally going through it, brother. I know you've been praying for me. Amen. But we take the scripture and we mark, we got it on a little iPad or a phone, and we have the Bible on. And before we go, we have a time just to hear the word. And then we stop where we're at, and then we'll pick that up again. Do you know, in less than 24 hours, you can hear the whole New Testament. Now, none of us can stay up that long, but 24 hours, if you were a reader, you could read it in 24 hours. Now, I haven't done that personally because I like to sleep sometime. But I can do it in a couple days. I mean, we're without excuse. We have all the technology, then use it for the glory of God. Put it in your spirit and try to get to the place where you may not be able to remember every jot and tittle. You may not be able to, like 1 Corinthians 4, verse 3. You might be able to do that. Some people can't. But when you hear the word, you actually can finish the sentence. Isn't that more important than knowing where everything is? Now, that's important, but how many knows that's the truth? I want to be able to finish the sentence. Faith comes by. If there's a lack of faith, it's because we haven't heard enough. And there's more things crowding this than this. Oh, man, he's just going off today. I want you, church, as your pastor, I want you to spend time in the Word. Not that you brag and look at me, I'm all that. No, your character shines through. People will see you've been with God. That'll be your promotion by itself. I'm held accountable for this church. And when I stand before the Almighty, I'm not doing it under compulsion. I'm not doing it because somebody's forcing me or any arena. I'm doing it because God's called me. And I want to be able to give an account to your life with joy and strength. That I did, Lord, what you wanted me to do. Now, I can't live your life. Nor can I force you to go down that road. But I'm asking you, go down that road. You'll benefit forever. Forever you'll benefit. Come on. When you get to heaven, this is still going to be important. This is an eternal book. It's the only book ever written that talks about past, present, and future. That's 100% accurate. Isn't that cool? It's so cool. You get a copy of it. And God gave you a little recap on every part of history so you could know. I wasn't there in Adam and Eve, but he gave me account of it. I want you to know that when Enoch was translated, how many knows that when Enoch was translated? It says that Enoch walked with God and he walked no more because God took him. When Enoch was translated, it gave everybody a glimpse that there was something beyond right now. So all those who were walking by faith saw that he was gone, God took him. There's something after this life. Isn't that cool? They got a glimpse of it. The Bible says, Abraham saw my day and he rejoiced. It's always been there. God's always spoken that. And before there was Shrek, God spoke to Balaam. Used a donkey, amen? The donkey's eyes were open, saw the angel with the flaming sword, said, I'm not going there, amen? So Balaam beat him, and finally the donkey, could you imagine an animal talking to you? Why are you beating me? Wouldn't that blow you away? How many be like, what if your pet, what if a bird came by and said, you know what? I was just hanging around talking to you, amen? You'd be blown away. There's some unbelievable things. God can do it, true? Everything he's done is to get mankind's attention. This book here will be the book you'll get tired of, even though you're not tired of it. Oh, I'm preaching now. You want to have a great devotion in... Yes or no? You want to have a time the phone rings. This happens. The kid's got this. This is going on. It seemed like everything will erode the time in this. That's why discipline has to be there. Say no and no and no. I'm going to do this. If you set a pattern sooner or later, it'll become a lifestyle. And then you will miss it. We need to miss it. I haven't had my time. Amen. Now, back in the early 70s, I'll just speak this. I used to call it the scripture fix. Man, I need a scripture fix. And I'd get some word in me. Now, we don't like to use words like that today, but how many knows you need some word in you? Amen. Praise God. You need some word in you. Can you put the word in there? Now, what if you're walking with the Lord, the character is being changed, and this is in you, and you walk through that consuming fire? You'll come forth as gold. And your character will be that of Jesus Christ. That will receive a reward. Say amen. I'm here getting the revelation here. I want you to have it. This is real. This is real stuff. Real stuff. In these next few months, I'm going to be sharing with you some encounters I've had with the King of Kings. That he is doing something that's unbelievable. That heaven right now is very active, waiting for the church. That there's a stirring going on in the eternal realm. That he's about to do some big shifting on things, and some events are going to be taking place on this planet rapidly. The church needs to be prepared. He's already said, put the trumpet to your mouth and blow. Sound the alarm. And it's amazing to me that when the alarms go off everywhere else in the earth, it kind of drowns out the alarm to get your life right. Oh, I can preach that. With all the problems we have, with all the turmoil, with all the terrorism, it's getting people's attention off of the reality that Christ is going to return. We're more focused on the problems than we are the solution. Is this good preaching tonight? Oh, amen. Come on, church, we need it. Yeah. I covenant with you to grow more in this word. Will you do it with me? Yeah. I can't do it for you. Will you do it with me? Yeah. I know not everyone will go down this road, but I'm asking you, put the word in you. And be humble about it. Not be like, well, I know that. Well, I know that. No, there's more you can know. You could study salvation till now until Jesus comes back and still never exhaust that alone. But grow in that grace. Spend that time. Ask the Holy Spirit, teach me. And have a good overview. There are some things that are deep in Ezekiel that I have questions that when I get there I'm going to ask. Lord, what about this? Some of the fuller revelation may come. But whatever he's revealed, I want to know. I can know. It's not private interpretation. It won't be like, well, Pastor Tom has the only revelation about that. That's foolishness. What I get, you can get. What you can get, I can get. There's no spiritual hierarchy there that all of a sudden you're the special one. No, we'll get it together. Amen? But we'll grow together. And our character will be that of Christ. And if I boil it all down, one day I'll be like Jesus. Isn't that cool? Isn't that what he'd want? Yes. Notice that he doesn't say, well, I don't want you to be like me. Oh, think about it. I bore the image of the earthly. I need to bear the image of the heavenly. Then I want to be like that. No one likes to hear before you're saved, you of your father, the devil. And whatever he did, that's what you did. Oh, no one wants to hear that. How many knows that same spirit dwelt in this planet? And I operated in that too. I operated in the flesh. But now, I have hope. Come on. Can you imagine Jesus preaching the sermon and looking at people saying, "You're of your father the devil. That's why you want to kill me." That wouldn't be popular preaching, would it? And the people that should know God said, "We want to throw him off the cliff." When Lazarus was resurrected, they wanted to kill Jesus and Lazarus. Listen, got out there. Can't stand it. It's going to be no different. People are not going to like it, but that's okay. You don't belong to this earth anyways. Amen? And if I'm really walking in love, what you say is not going to change my view. I'm going to trust him. I'm going to trust him. Amen? I'm going to trust him. How many want to be more like Christ? Can you walk away with that tonight? How many want to spend more time in this, honestly? Then discipline yourself to do it. However you do it in your life, discipline yourself to do it. And one of the most unselfish acts, how many will pray for more other people? Have that time of intercession. Have that time. Amen? Think about people. If you don't see somebody, hey, I haven't seen them. I'm praying for them. Follow that through. And I want to give a testimony here. Deanne over here. Dee, she's one of the most unselfish ladies I have ever met in my life. When it comes to the house of God, it's on her heart that whatever she can do to make this place better, she does it. She doesn't do it for self-glory. I've caught her outside in the rain, weed in the flower bed. I've caught her outside in the sun. I've caught her outside when it's been cold. She doesn't care. Do you need anything? Nope. I got my water. I got this. Need that? Nope. I don't need anything, Pastor. I'm just taking care of God's house. I want to let you know that there are people that love the house of the Lord. She's one of them. She loves flowers. And I guarantee you, her place is going to be packed full of them. They won't go away. They won't wait. They won't fade. They won't turn brown. They'll always bloom. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. For what God has done. Yes. And one more thing about Dee. When she's your friend, you have a friend for life. Amen. She will visit you. She will go after you. She will pray for you. She truly bears the image of Jesus. And she brings that to this house. So Dee, I thank you. You're an awesome lady. You're an awesome lady to me. And you can pay me later for saying all that. God is good. If you would lift your hands towards heaven, I want you to declare it on your own here. Father, we declare, Lord, that we will spend time in your word. We hear you. Lord, we declare, Lord God, that our character will change to be more like Christ. That, Lord, we know that you're a consuming fire, that hay, wood, and stubble will be burned off. Fleshly things will be burned out of our life. For Christ will remain. Your word will remain. The character of Christ will remain. The fruits of the Spirit will only remain. And the flesh will be consumed. Every jealousy, every hatred, every rage will be consumed away. So, Lord Jesus, we declare, Lord, that we will walk in it. That, Lord God, what is budding in fruit, Lord, we'll let it come to full fruit, full age. Lord, when it comes to your spiritual things, our senses discern that we can discern between good and evil. Lord, we can tell. Because, Lord, we know the world doesn't know you, neither does it see you, but we know you. So Lord, we're going to walk in it. Now as we look to this new year, declare it now that in 2018, I will spend more time with him. I will pray even more than I have. I will spend more time in his word than I have. Lord, help me. And Lord, I'm going to arrange my life to see it happen. In Jesus' precious name. And everyone said, amen. Amen.